It's like, I don't know. We're not doing a Beavis and Butthead podcast, so. Yeah.
Aw, come on, buddy.
Well, we might when the show kicks back off. No, we probably won't. This isn't 1993, so.
Oh, speaking of cartoons, did you see the Entertainment Weekly's got the top, because it's the 15-year celebration of South Park, the top 10 South Park moments and the top, like, 53 worst episodes of South Park?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't gotten this week, so I
It's
haven't
actually
gotten right
pretty.
yet.
It's the Avengers covers. That's pretty funny. What it was is they list episodes 1 through 43 of the worst episodes as seasons 1 through 3 that they hate.
Well, they were. I mean, in the scope of things, they weren't the best, but at
No,
the same
and that was the
time,
point. Yeah.
I mean, you got to give the guys a break. They were just kind of kicking everything off.
I
There were some
respect the
funny
hell. I respect the hell out of South Park. I've never like watched a whole lot of it, but. I like the idea that Matt and Trey don't take themselves too seriously, aren't like far left ideologues, aren't far right ideologues. They pretty much just don't care,
Yeah,
and they skewer everything.
nobody's sacred, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get offended, it's your own damn problem.
And
So.
then they make it clear it's like they're just doing their thing. It's not like they really hate people. You
Even
know?
the making of videos they have are really funny because
Yeah.
they're like sitting in a hot tub and they're like, you know, we come in there and we do all the work and you know, pretty much it's all us, and then we just, you know, we sit here and drink cocktails. We don't actually know what this guy does, and it's sitting there and the guy's like the main editor. You know, and he's
Right.
working 60-hour weeks, and he's like, "Oh, those guys are a bunch of assholes."
Yeah.
Cause everyone's working, so see what you can do. Can we use that as a theme song? Well, I love Buffalo Rodeo and all.
No.
Come on!
We're trying to build an audience, not
This
make them
is
run for cover.
from your generation, old man.
Yeah, old man. I get that every day in class. Like today, they're like. The teacher was talking about when she was in high school and college that there was no social media and cyberbullying and all this, and people didn't even have caller ID. And she's like, I know I'm old. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't have caller ID either. I'm a fucking prick, too. I'll
No,
try not to, yeah.
we didn't, dude. Our household never had caller ID ever.
Nah. Same thing here. It's like still got the basic answering machine and all that kind of stuff. It's just is what it is. Didn't have a cell phone until I was 20.
Yeah, I didn't have one until much later.
And people are like, "Ooh, who are you calling? The president? Ooh, ooh, look, it's Mr. Umbrella. Oh, the rain hurts." Sorry.
God, you're an asshole.
Thank you, Jim
Yeah,
Gaffigan. That's all I gotta say.
that's good stuff.
He looks like a polar bear.
God, he was so funny until every joke was about food.
Look at him! Of course, every joke's gonna be about food. Fuck!
Like him and Val Kilmer.
Aw, you mean Chaz Bono?
Leave it alone.
That's what Val Kilmer looks like now, man! He looks like Chaz Bono!
Val
Does
Kilmer
he
looks like
really?
nah, Val Kilmer looks like the kid from Mr. Sunshine that we hate.
Mr. Sunshine.
Yeah.
No, seriously, look. Adam, do you have a computer in front of you? Go on like Internet Explorer and look at Chaz Bono, then look at
Oh,
like
dear
a
God.
picture. Yeah, look at Val Kilmer.
I used to play Batman.
What happened to the Saint, man?
Oh, God.
I just saw Heat.
Heat's pretty awesome. What are you?
Actually, you know
That
what?
was
I've
10
never
years
seen
ago.
Heat. I've owned it for like 3 years, still have yet to watch it.
You gotta have the right mood.
Maybe that
It
mood's
is
now.
a great crime movie, though.
It is definitely a classic.
Nice. Is that how we should kick off this podcast? That's a good start. We're talking about Heat, making fun of Jim Gaffigan, whatever.
That's what
Then fuck it! We're gonna do it right now! Welcome to CTR. This is the new certifiable Total Recall in my new house, recording from Simpsonville, South Carolina on October 5th. I am Andrew Van with my co-host.
Oh, that's me, isn't it? My name is Jason Martin. I'm in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Simpsonville, by the way, also known as the asshole of Greenville.
No, it is not. That is Greer, South Carolina. Simpsonville's nice,
I
motherfucker.
know it is, man.
By the way, this
Jim
podcast is
Gaffigan says.
explicit, fuckers.
Yeah, that you started it out with the F-bomb.
Hey, our first podcast was not explicit. Then the second one came out, and the third one came out, and it just had little explicit tags all over it. So,
All right, we could talk all day,
shit.
but why don't you introduce our guest this
Yes,
afternoon?
our guest, also from Simpsonville, South Carolina, so two against one asshole, our mutual buddy friend of ours, Adam P. Jordan.
Hello, hello. It's
P.
good to be on here with you guys. It's nice to actually be talking with you instead of listening to you.
P? What does P stand for?
Peter.
Well, It's not PETA. It's actually Prentice. P-R-E-N-T-I-C-E. It's my grandmother's maiden name.
Oh, that man, I can't joke right. about that.
Well, she's not dead.
Yeah. Yes, she is.
Is she?
Yeah, dude, I don't have any grandparents.
No, I'm talking about your mom.
No, my mother's not. My grandmother, my father's mother, well, all my grandparents are, but no, my mother's fine. She lives in Greenville.
Right.
Somber mood.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Thanks a lot.
Did she get hit by a reindeer or something like that song? Fuck.
She got run over by a reindeer, actually.
Yeah, no one was
coming home
by
from our house on Christmas Eve.
Nice. Nice. Boom! We'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Tip your waiters.
Unfortunately, we won't. Actually, we changed that. Fortunately, we won't be here all week.
Fortunately?
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, so should we just kick it off with what's happening or about what's going on or what? How we should do this?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you want to do the fun stuff first or do you want to do the other stuff first?
I say let's kick it off with the serious stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in here. This is a special recording to remember. We're not mourning. We are remembering our mutual friend, Roy Levine Weisenborn III. Great guy. Our little history background between all four of us, actually, we all worked at GameStop at some point in time here in South Carolina. Before that, Adam, actually, me and Adam actually knew each other since fucking middle school.
Yep. Long time now.
Because here's a story for you, Jammer. You don't know about how me and Adam met. We were fucking in eighth grade. We were messing around. And this dipshit was
stop.
An asshole.
Stop. You're going to need to go back and rephrase that.
Because yeah, I know. We were fucking
said,
in middle
like,
school.
We were fucking around in middle school.
Oh,
we
yeah,
were
you
messing
don't say.
Around. Then you backed up. You said we're messing around. It's like the first time wasn't bad enough.
No, had to dig the hole deep.
That.
Hey, no, we already had our Dateline podcast. People know
Roy would have appreciated that.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But we were just assholes in middle school. I was a smart ass. This kid was in the back of the class. It was math class, was it not?
I believe so, yeah.
And you sat in the back of the portable with, like, Cody and it was the big kid. What was his name? The guy
Daniel.
Yeah, and then there was Eric. And, man, we were just goofing. And I was, like, sitting away from you guys. And I remember one time I fucking brought a Playboy to school. And this guy here.
Of course you did.
Happens to, like, open my backpack and go, ooh, look what he's got. And it was, like, the 1984, like, Vanna White Playboy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can still Google them photos. By the way, this podcast is brought to you by Vanna White's Bush.
Okay.
Oh, man. But if
from
you don't
explicit
like...
to obscene in 3.5 seconds.
What? I'm just saying. Who doesn't like 80s Bush? The band, thank
no,
you.
No, that's 90s Bush.
90s Bush.
80s Bush is when they were in middle school.
80s yeah. Bush is George H.W.
Yeah, so we knew each other since middle school. We went to different high schools, and then at some point when we were, what, 16, 17, I had already been working at GameStop, well, at the time, Funko Land, which was a shithole. And Adam came about, and we were like, hey, guy. So, and then
terrific story.
Yeah, I know. It was good. Then we ended up working with Rory, which was definitely good times. We all stayed friends. And then a couple odd years later, you came about, sir, did you not? And you actually worked for Adam at some point in time.
Yeah, obviously, this discussion, and I'm gonna be more of the narrator of it than anything else because you guys have way more in terms of history and stories than I do with Roy. I have a few funny anecdotes, nothing too substantial, but yeah, I came around in, let's see, when would I have started
Before?
In GameStop? 2004, yeah, it was right prior to the...
Halo 2 launch.
Well, that's when I got my store. But
San Andreas was when we were still in the mall.
Yeah,
store.
San Andreas day. That was a good day.
Yeah, San Andreas and Madden 2005 Ray Lewis cover was like the first big thing that I did for the company because I actually came in and met Joey. He wanted me to come to the midnight launch for NCAA. He was the manager that started with me as assistant, and then he left, and you replaced him, Adam, when you
that
came back from Hartwell.
That would be Joey Joseph P. Mistretta, by the way, who is one of your best friends.
That's according to him on Facebook. I have
yes,
nothing
it is.
To do with that whatsoever.
You're in his file. I've seen it. You are one of his best friends, sir. One of his best friends. Don't you forget that.
One of the elite.
Nice.
I'm a noble of the robe. But yeah, Adam came in what, September?
I believe so. It was right after conference. I don't think that you ever really worked for me. You were already on your way to manager status as well. So I kind of saw it as like an equal sort of thing. Cause then you went and opened your big store in Greer and
with me.
Really kicked off from there. Heck yeah.
Yeah. But you know, the whole deal, like you came in, Joey was still, he liked the idea that I was the assistant underneath him, even though I had instituted how we would, you know, deal with cardboard and deal with operations and a lot of the things that, because he's a terrible organizer. I know he's listening to this and he's my boy, but
no, he's not.
Yeah, he is. You remember his Anderson store?
But he don't listen to the podcast. He don't know how to work a computer.
Yeah, but a lot of other people are listening to this podcast that are appreciating every word of what I just said. But
well, Joseph, whatever the P stands for, is it Peter?
It's
Philip, his is Peter. No, it's not.
I think it's Philip. I'm almost sure.
Boosh. Well, Vincent I. Payne. Can
there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I got to GameStop because I worked in professional wrestling, which you know, some of you on the podcast know, some of you don't. I was an announcer. At the time I met him, I was a ring announcer just transitioning into television play-by-play and hadn't actually worked my way into the creative room where I would end up. Towards the end of my career, I was creative director at a couple of different areas and head writer in addition to some of that stuff. And I met Joey through that. Joey recruited me away from selling cell phones, which is what I was doing, to GameStop. Like I said, he kind of liked the idea. He kept telling me there was more I needed to learn. There was more I needed to learn. But when he got a chance to move on and Adam came in, within 2 weeks, Adam was already telling me, you're not going to be here very long. And you know that ended up leading me to Greer when our very good friend and a friend that you know I am privileged to have, Roy Smith, decided he didn't want to, or for whatever reason, he was going to take that store. He ended up not taking that store, which opened it up for me. And then my assistant happened to be the jackass that's on the other end of this Skype.
You're damn right, baby. You remember you and me like did not like each other at first?
That's because you walked past me like you
fuck were, you! Like you fucking walked past me, bitch!
Ass bitch!
I was trying to have lunch with Adam and I didn't know you were on the floor processing trades.
Get back to work, shoe bitch!
Get back to work, shoe bitch!
But yeah, I thought you were entitled and didn't want to talk to a brother. Then you came back out at the end, you're like, oh, I'm going to be your assistant. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah, then like the next week you come by and have lunch with our other friend Madden, and then you like don't even look at me, and I'm like, you come back, Madden comes back to lunch, like who is that? He's like, oh, that's gonna be your new boss. I'm like, what a dick, son of a bitch. But then like we started working together, and we started realizing like we were just complete assholes to one another. We were like, wait a minute, you like Seinfeld? You like Saved by the Bell? You like Full House and you're not ashamed of it? Cool.
By our powers combined, we are Captain Insult, because that's pretty much what we did. Start insulting some of the other people that work, because we were training our staff at another store with a bunch of douchebags. Not that store, but the people that we were training and some of the stuff periphery. There was a couple people in that store. Chris, for example.
Chris with the sweet band. Oh, man. Carnahan. Yeah, that guy was awesome. No, Carnahan was Brian. What was his name?
His name is Chris. It started with a K, right? Carabin.
Carabin, yeah.
Anyway,
Total Recall, son. That's why we call it that, because we have eidetic memories, yo.
That's sad.
Actually, probably not. But anyway, moving forward, I ended up in the Greer store in South Carolina, and that's where I met Roy, who was Roy Weisenborn, who was working in Simpsonville as a store manager.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I can get my little bit out of the way, and then I can chime in here and there on what you guys say. But the couple of experiences that I had with Roy, first and foremost, the one thing I'll remember most about Roy is – Roy had no time for BS in terms of when I talked to him, that conversation had a purpose. Like we would talk, even if it was about nothing, even if it was about a cartoon or whatever like that, or a video game or anything like that, it always felt like that conversation meant something. He was direct. He looked you in the eye. He talked with authority. There were things about him that instantly made me think, hey, this guy is somebody to know. And the other thing that always stood out is he always wore a hat with a shamrock on it. Every time I saw him, it was either a Guinness hat or a Notre Dame hat or Raiders. Something like that. Raiders on occasion, that's yeah. True. Different stuff. But the first time I actually saw him outside of a work environment was when he came to my apartment. You two were both there, as was Tyler, our friend who now works in New York, and some other
Dolphin
folks.
Dolphin teeth.
Yeah,
Gerber, baby.
Gerber is listening to this, I'm sure. So what up, T-Boz? But we were heading out to a club, and let's just say we had imbibed a bit. Maybe I had imbibed a little bit too much. And I remember I had a Batman coin bank. And for whatever reason, everybody was leaving, and I walked out and kind of opened the screen door and made everybody turn around and just screamed out in my stupor, "I'm Batman. I'm Batman." And it has stuck with me to this day. If you look at my Facebook page, that's what's written under "About Me" is "I'm Batman."
And oh, yeah.
Find me on Xbox Live, for instance. It says I'm from Gotham, all that good stuff.
You were tanking on some Smirnoff, weren't you?
I think it was schnapps, actually. But I think I'd have like a pint of peppermint schnapps on top of some other stuff.
What are you, Ooh. Elaine from Seinfeld?
I don't give a damn. That shit tastes good.
Open the vault?
Ain't no shame in my game. But so I met Roy that way, and then he would come over a couple other times in the apartment. We played guitar. This was the time Adam was trying to play guitar also.
Trying.
You were about to buy a guitar yourself, Andy.
Yep.
And Roy found out I played, and he came over a few times with Adam. We would play, I remember pretty concisely, we played fighting games, and we played guitar.
Correct.
And had a blast, and again, I thought Roy was a tremendous dude. I never got to know him to the extent that you guys did, and I'm going to enjoy for the next couple of minutes sitting back and enjoying you guys talking about your experiences with Roy. But I can tell you this. There's almost nobody that I know from the GameStop universe back when we were all managers and assistant managers and the like who had anything but respect for Roy except for people that I could have cared less about.
Exactly.
Everybody I care from Roy to you to Adam to Tyler, the list goes on and on. People that aren't with the company anymore.
Thank God.
Everybody loved Roy. Mm-hmm. And they loved him for their own reasons and nothing else mattered. Like whatever was going on in his store was irrelevant. It was just – the guy was just infectious in a lot of really positive ways. And the short time that I knew him, I had a tremendous amount of personal respect for who he was and how secure he was when he talked. Like I said, the main thing that stood out to me was just how the conversations could go so deep and then they could be nothing. But there always felt like there was a purpose to why we were speaking. And that's something I would always appreciate. And – that guy, I can tell you, and we'll get to this again later on, that guy's going to be missed in ways that can't be conveyed on an audio podcast.
Not at all.
So now I'm going to, and like I said, Andy made this point, and I'm going to say it again. Roy, and this is a huge cliche. People always say they wouldn't want us to sit here and sob and talk about
it. No, this is what I said about Roy. Roy, if he was around right now looking upon us, and when I first heard the news last Monday about what had happened, I had to go to the back room of my work, and I was literally in tears. And I don't remember the last time I had cried about either a family member or a friend dying. And I told the story to Adam, actually, the other day. And I was like, you know, if Roy was right here in front of me watching me cry, he would buck up, put his head back a little bit, and go, "Hey, man, you want to stop being a pussy?"
Right, and like I said, it's cliche because a lot of people say that, but in Roy's case, that's absolutely right. It's absolutely true. What you're saying is dead right. A lot of people say that because it makes them feel better, but in truth, Roy wouldn't be having this.
Nope.
We're not going to have some sob pity party. We're going to tell you why Roy was such a kick-ass guy and why he's going to be missed and why so many people care about him. And hopefully, you know, a lot of people close to him are going to hear this and be able to treasure it. That's why we're doing it in this format. This podcast can be saved to your computer. You can have this to refer back to. I would love to have emails from all of you letting us know some of you, you know, your memories of Roy and all that kind of stuff. Roy's memory is going to live on. And the last thing I'll say about it is what I wrote on behalf of both myself and Andy the day of Roy's passing, which was that every episode of CTR from here until the end of 2011, and I would bet you beyond, is going to be dedicated to the memory of Roy. Because
that's
it's
awesome.
People like Roy that make me want to do this kind of a show. Because he would have appreciated the hell out of the kind of stuff that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, you guys take it away.
He definitely he touched a lot of people in more ways than
know
one.
Know what I'm saying?
whether he was wrestling him, choking him out, or you know, really being a friend to him, like that guy, he had a level of demanding respect and a way of demanding respect from everyone that I've never really even seen before, and it was just amazing, like how so many different types of people could flock to him and just be. And he's friendly towards everybody. Like he, I mean, there were people he didn't like, but it was for good reason. But honestly, like,
and that's their problem.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And I mean, he wouldn't give it two thoughts, but he'd give you the fucking shirt off his back
Literally.
You know, literally. Like, he did it for me a couple of times, literally. And, you know, like, it just – it's – of course, in retrospect, you know, you look back and you really realize how special everything was and how lucky you were to know somebody like that. And it really – it hits you. It really does because, right. You know, he and I were really, really close. I don't like throwing labels out there or anything, but I would have to say that he and I were damn near two of the best friends you could possibly imagine. I mean, we hung out damn near every day, and that guy, he had a way about him. I saw this with anybody. You could be having a shitty day, you could be sitting there, you know, just down on yourself, everything's caving in around you, and he could look at you and say something, whether it be completely serious or something completely just off the tip of his tongue, like off, you know, out of nowhere, and make you laugh about it and totally forget about it, right. You know? And it was pretty awesome. I have plenty of memories, you know, and some people didn't know him as a silly guy. A lot of people did. A lot of people got to hang out with him, party with him, have a good time with him, joke around. Like, we really had too many things that I could talk about personally, and it's not my purpose to be here to sit here and hog, you know, all the airtime talking about stuff, but just, you know, that guy touched every person that I've seen in this past week, and even people that I haven't seen. I know that he was able to make an impact on them because there are tons of people that have come and paid respect and, you know, come and done a whiskey shot just in memory of Roy. Guy was a stand-up, respectable individual, and one of my best friends, and I'm going to miss him immensely. But I'm not going to, you know, sit here and get upset about it because I've done plenty of that already. I don't know. That motherfucker was 10 feet tall and bulletproof in my eyes, you know? Absolutely. He really was.
Roy was a big definition of what a guy's guy is. He was tough, but at the same time, he was kind-hearted if you got to really know him. He had a demeanor about him that he was just confident. And once you got to know him, like you said, he would get the shirt off your back. If you needed a place to stay, he had an extra bed, had an extra couch. Mm-hmm. If you just wanted to hang out and play some games, I mean, he'd stay up all night with you and just bullshit with you all night.
I mean, probably stay up longer.
Yeah, no shit. Like, you guys, that fucking photo of the two of you on your, like, patio, or you're drunk ass asleep in the morning, and he came over and spooned you.
That picture's unbelievable.
I'm framing that. I really am. I have a printer at my home. I am putting that somewhere in my house.
And here's a little backstory for those of you out there listening. We had gone and played Magic the Gathering.
Nice.
You know, I'd say it's moderately popular if you've ever heard of collectible card games.
Amongst
it's,
nerds.
Amongst very, very nerdy people. We went and played Magic and talked to the owner of a Magic store in Easley. It's actually Corner Magic. A guy named Dave over there is real kind-hearted guy. Nice dude if you get down with that sort of stuff.
This podcast is brought to you by Corner Magic, owned by Dave.
Don't know his last name, but he's a pretty cool dude. We stayed there until 4 a.m. and talked to him about Magic, bought cards and traded. And it was it was Roy, myself, and my other roommate, Robert Nelson, who's also a good friend of Roy's. And we came back to the house at about, you know, 5-6 in the morning, and Roy and I proceeded to have some drinks just because, you know, why not? We didn't have anything going on that next day. And suffice to say, I had a few too many, I think, and decided to take a nap out on my patio and rolled over and started to hug the railings there and just kind of sleep. And Roy and my girlfriend, Sarah, were sitting outside talking. And all of a sudden, Roy gets up, lays next to me and starts spooning me. And Sarah snaps this picture. And it really is like – kind of a it's the funniest picture I think I own, to be honest. But at the same time, like, it really, I don't know, in the totally hetero way, like, it kind of shows you how Roy was, because he, you know, he would come over and spoon somebody, but it would also make for a really funny photo that can be talked about and laughed about. And the guy, you know, he never let me live it down, of course. Why would he? You know, I passed out on the porch. I deserve to be made fun of. Absolutely. I'm just glad that they didn't write on my face with a marker, you know, give me a Fu Manchu mustache or something, you know, or whatever. But, you know, we have lots of funny pictures. We actually have, I can't find it, but there's ones of us all wearing sombreros. It's me, his sister Bambi, and himself. We once again had been hanging out, partying, had a few drinks, and he had these really bitchin' sombreros, and we ended up putting them on and walking around. We have really great pictures, great memories of at his house, you know, being at his house and just having fun. Like, I don't know, the guy was there for me anytime I needed him, whether it was to bitch and moan about something or hell, there was a time when I was in jail and he was one of the only people that got me out and was there for me and did what I needed, you know, did what he needed to do for me. And I'll never forget that. I always appreciate that because he's such a, just a stand up person. Like, he'd be brutally honest with you, but at the same time, he would give you all of his attention and all of his, I don't know, all of his ability to care, I guess, all of his, whatever. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but the guy, I don't know, we had such great times together, and I know that hopefully a lot of you that are listening to this can shoot Jason some emails of your memories of Roy, because we always love to hear him and talk about him. I've been doing it for, you know, a week now, and just reminiscing. If any of you have ever seen the movie Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, there's a character named Zaphod Beeblebrox. He is the president of the galaxy. And he's probably a pretty silly character. And basically, Roy sat there one night and said, "That is space me." And I always hung on to that because...
Better than barf.
Yeah, exactly.
Barf!
That's a pretty bitchin' song that they play, though.
I would say that there's a lot of adjectives to describe Roy. One of them is not selfish.
No. That's absolutely right. To me, when people ask me about Roy, I always tell this, and I've said this before, loyal comes to mind. Roy's been like one of the most loyal people in my life. And again, like Adam, you talk about how you got a chance to hang with him a lot. It's been a few months since I've actually seen Roy. It's been like maybe 2 months. And before that, we talked on Xbox Live a lot. We, you know, text, we bullshit. And he's never done me wrong. He's never talked behind my back. He's never stirred any trouble. He's never created any drama. He's never BS'd me. He's never lied to me.
Nope.
And I can say that for a lot of people, too, the same way for Roy. And he's just one of those guys. He's straight. He's narrow. He doesn't, you know, pull strings. He doesn't manipulate anything. He's just a great guy to hang out with. And again, like you said, the stories you just told about, you know, you being in jail, like, that shows you right there what kind of a loyal guy he is. If you needed anything, he was there. And one of the things I remember talking about Roy, last conversation I had with him, we were on Xbox Live, and I told him, you know, heart to heart, I was like, dude, like, I feel bad because I got this going on. I haven't had time to hang out with you lately, like some people do, like every night, whatever, at your place. And he's like, he goes, man, you don't need to hang out with me every night like some of these people. You have shit to do. That's understandable. You don't have to prove anything. And that's the thing about Roy. Like, he's like, if we're friends, we're friends. Simple as that. You don't need me fostering everything every day. I don't need to hear about your story every day. But when we hang out, we're going to hang out. It's simple as that.
Well, and there were periods of time where I didn't see him for months at a time. I'd move away, or I wouldn't be able to speak to him, or stuff would happen. And it just prevented us from being able to really hang out. And as soon as we hung out again, it was right like we left off. Like, we were still just as good of friends, and we never, you know, he never held anything against me, and I'm really happy about that. And I never had anything to hold against him. It's just, it was amazing the depth that our friendship went. I mean, the guy was, he was more of a brother to me than my own blood. And that really says something, because your blood, you know, people say all the time that your family is the most important thing. And right. I've been put in positions where I had to realize that my family isn't as loyal as I am or as Roy was. And Roy, to this day, and I'm pretty sure that nothing that ever happens will ever put someone in a higher position on my list as a more respectable and a more loyal person, because he would never, like you said, Andy, never do anything shady to you. He'd never lie to you, would always be just upfront about it. And if you didn't like it, that's fine. That was your prerogative. But, you know, the guy – there can't be enough kind things said about him just because he was that good of a person. And everybody that knew him knows for certain that that's just the way that it is. And we lost a great person. We lost a better man and a better friend. And we lost a brother to those of us who knew him and were close to him. And it's a pity.
And to piggyback off that note about loyalty and brotherhood, you, I want to say this right now again, and I've said this to you at the viewing, you've done so much in the past week to help out with his family, with getting everybody into contact, messaging, relaying, texts, phone calls, Facebooks, emails. You have done a remarkable job, and I can't applaud you more for that. And take that for as much as it's worth, because you've done more than some of his family, and it should be acknowledged, and not for, like, you know, whatever reason. I think you need to keep that in your heart, that you've done such a great job, and that means a lot. And whether it's said or not by that family, you should know that.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And I only this is what I would tell anybody. I mean, I even mentioned it to you. I only did exactly what I know he would do if I were in the same situation. If I was the one that had passed away, I know he would do whatever was in his power to comfort, you know, my loved ones and my friends, and he would do the same thing about getting in touch with people, because I know that it would affect him the same way. It would cause him, you know, I more than anything wanted to be there for everyone, because I swelled with pride at the fact that I knew such a great person and a great man, and I wanted to make sure that everybody who cared about him, even in the slightest, knew about it and really was able to do what they could to celebrate who he was, and whether it was, you know, to take a shot in his honor, or to stand there and, you know, remember who he was, or whatever it may be, how everybody deals with things differently, but
right.
You know, everybody deserved that to know and to be informed. And I really appreciate you saying that, because it does mean a lot to me. It was really, really difficult, and I actually think it helped me a lot being so busy with trying to maintain contact with so many people and trying to be there for so many people, because I honestly would have been a wreck otherwise, and I still was, but I mean, having that focus really helped me. It really did.
I think we should go around and maybe say one or two, no limit, favorite Rory memories, like just moments. Jason, you want to? You were talking about playing, getting out a guitar with him before.
Well, there were those. I think to add to what was already said, and this is what I was basically trying to get across when I started earlier, and I think that you guys have both echoed it perfectly, is that what I saw when I saw Roy was a sort of quiet dignity, a sort of understated integrity. In that, again, when I said he doesn't BS you, he doesn't. There were times when he said things to me that, you know, I took fairly harshly, but I also felt better for having heard him. There mm-hmm. were things that I needed to hear. And I think that Adam, the way he paid respect to Roy in the last 2 weeks, I would almost say that you could create an adjective and say that he pulled a Weisenborn.
Yep.
Because he repaid that integrity. He believed that, and you know, you reversed it the same way. Roy would feel obligated to do that for you and to do that for his friends and all that. And you took it upon yourself to feel the exact same level of obligation for him after his passing. And as a result, I saw great images, obviously the funny ones. And then the picture that stood out the most to me was the picture of just him, I guess, from a wedding.
It was Billy's wedding.
Right. Yep. That picture became my wallpaper for a couple of days on my desktop, because it was just like, wow, that to me is Roy in a nutshell. Just the way he had his head cocked, everything about that just felt like Roy. Yep. And it was just such a beautiful thing that I thought, and I echo what Andy said and say that, you know, you deserve a tremendous amount of applause for doing that, just because, especially for somebody like me who's, you know, 500 miles away from you guys at this point, I felt like I was as close to being there as I could be. And that was the first time since I've moved to Bowling Green that I actually felt sick to my stomach at times that I wasn't there to be a part of, you know, obviously the service and all that, but just being around some of you guys during this time frame. And thanks to your updates and, you know, being able to follow through that way, I actually was able to feel like I was part of things. And if that was your intention, you succeeded in spades. So I want to make sure that was made clear.
Thank you.
The memory, Roy, that I have would be, there was another manager at GameStop named Tav.
Oh my God. Why would you do this? Why would you taint our podcast with that motherfucker?
Because when I tell you, because when I tell you this, you'll be like, yeah, that's Roy. Roy happened to come in that night. I think he was just shopping or something like that. I don't even know who he was with. It doesn't matter. He was in the store, and I was still new to the management thing, and Andy can tell you this. Up until around Christmas, I was working myself dumb. Because I didn't know what I was doing, quite frankly. Like, it wasn't that I was in over my head, it's that I felt like I was. I was putting too much onus on myself to do things instead of delegating. I didn't realize how great Andy truly was for the first couple of weeks, and then I realized this guy's every bit as good as me, if not better, and was able to do that. But we had another key holder that was garbage. But Roy came in, and Tav was kind of trying to throw his weight around about reserves.
Literally.
He was trying to throw his psoriasis around on the counters, and
he was scraping it off,
all that stuff. And he was coming in, he was just being all haughty. How many reserves you got? That's decent, I guess. And all
too
this,
bad
and you know,
cheat the company like me,
right? Exactly, falsifying numbers. But he was on the other side of the counter, he was being an asshole, and Roy was just kind of in the background. And I guess he was looking at our DVD shelves or something like that. And he walked away. Tav walked away. And Roy walked up to me, and I'd really, at this point, had no real conversation with him at all. I'd seen him at a meeting, I think is it. He walked over to me, he goes, hey, man, my name's Roy Weisenborn. And I said, oh, yeah, Andy's told me a couple things about you or whatever. And he goes, I just want to tell you, you're all right, man, but that guy's a fucking asshole. And he just kind of stared at me, and he, like, there was no crack of smile or anything like that. Like, this wasn't a joke. He was telling me, look, this guy's a prick. Don't worry about this. And I was like, dude, I'm just trying to do my best or whatever. He was like, you're fine. Just don't listen to pricks like that. And he kind of pointed in his direction. And then he just turned right back around and went back to the DVD shelves. And that, to me, epitomized what Roy was. He was direct with what he said. He got it out there. And then he walked away so I couldn't sit there and try to feel sorry for myself after the fact or thank him. It was just like he made the point that needed to be made, and he's like, my job here is done. Let me see if they've got Highlander 2. So that would be one of my lasting images of Roy.
For me, Roy was really funny where, you know, like Adam, you were saying earlier, when he got a little out of hand sometimes, as a, you know, for fun, he would, you know, kind of wrestle around and punch you a little bit in your arm to kind of get going things. And I know there were times where me and him joked around where he's like, hey, man, you ever need me, you know, I'm there pretty much like I got your back kind of thing. But, you know, me being me, I've never gone to a physical fight in like I don't remember how many years now. But if I ever did, I always knew like Roy would be there to the point where like, somewhat I think Roy actually would want me to get in a fight so he could just fight somebody at times. And there was a time, and I'll tell two stories real quick, where a mutual friend of all of ours cheated with my girlfriend at the time and hid that behind my back for a year. And for some reason, I don't know why, Roy was the first person I told about this. And prior to this knowledge, Roy actually, in a different scenario, knocked out the same mutual friend's front teeth when they were drunk downtown. And Roy put his fist out, like not throwing a punch, just put his fist out. And our friend like whipped his head around real quick when he's like, huh? And like smacked his face into his fist. And his teeth fell because he's that malnourished. And they fell out. When I told Roy about him cheating on my girlfriend and whatever, he goes, man, do you want me to knock out the rest of his teeth? Because I don't mind. I got some time. You just tell me. I'm like, no, we're good. I just need the vent. And he's like, okay. But the offer stands. You just tell me. I'm like, okay. No, we're good. Another story was Adam. I can't remember if you were there or not. I think you were. You were working, and it was me, Billy, Jason Cordell, Roy came in, and Smith was our manager at the time. And some of us were just hanging out, but we all happened to just be there this moment of time. And Smith walks over, and he's like, "Oh, great, you guys are all here. Might as well just read you this memo while you're here." And it's this memo from Games. I was saying that employees are no longer to date one another. Weisenborn, who was the assistant manager at the time, or third key, I think, picked up the assistant manager and was like, what? Fuck that. Picks up the assistant manager and runs out with him carrying him threshold. Going, <"Ee!" laughs> And people were just looking at us. And we're like, what the fuck just happened? And just those little like little moments. I'm just gonna remember for a long, long time of like his goofiness. So,
yep. I have a hard time. I could sit here all day and tell you different anecdotes from us hanging out. I mean, some of the most memorable ones are just, you know, he and I sitting in my house. Like, I have a thing for buying those Marvel Universe toys that they have now, the 4-inch, you know,
I've noticed
figures.
That.
And anytime I would get new ones, he would take them and place them in either compromising positions or really funny poses. He had Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet giving Colossus a piggyback ride. He had, you know, Cable actually jizzing into a shot of whiskey. Nice. Things like that. Yeah, he always had ways of doing that. You know, I'd set him up all perfect and nice, and he'd go and like change him up completely and have him standing there, and we'd laugh quite a bit about it. I don't know. He was always, I don't know. There was, of course, the laying out on the porch, the spooning. You know, as silly as it was, I don't know. I'll always cherish that picture. Despite,
how about the Super Bowl moment? Where the night after the Super Bowl a couple years ago, you guys got drunk, peed off the side of a highway, and you both rode up.
I was just thinking that, actually. That was one of the things I was going to mention. A mutual friend of ours, Tiger, a.k.a. LT Gray.
The guy who got his teeth knocked out.
He actually took us to whatever bar is over there on – I think it's called – it used to be called Game Time or something over on Congaree.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. It was after the Super Bowl, actually, and he wanted to get some drinks, and we went over there, and we ended up having quite a few drinks because Tiger has his ways of knowing people everywhere. And we were coming home, and Roy said, look, man, I'm going to piss myself. Like, I got to go to the bathroom now. And on 385, we stopped, and I had to pee real bad as well, but I was just going to take the inevitable bladder damage and or tinkle just a little bit on myself. But Roy gets out of the car, and I thought, you know, we're both pretty drunk. He starts rolling down this hill, so I think, what the hell? This looks fun, so I throw myself down the hill as well. Well, it turns out Roy actually broke his ankle. And so he's standing there pissing, and he goes, fuck, man, I think my ankle's broken. And I was like, wait, are you serious? I thought we were just rolling down a hill, man. You know, real drunk. And it turns out the next day is his ankle is the size of a softball. So
at least it was for a good cause.
Felt bad for the guy. And he, you know, of course, had to call me a jackass for throwing myself down the hill. But at least we had no ruptured bladders on the way home that night, you know. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure I'll think of a bunch as soon as I'm done talking. So I'll just leave it at that, and we can all sit here and just stew on the great memories we had of Roy Weisenborn. Like I said before, a great man, a better friend to us all, and you know, we'll never forget him. Never forget you, Roy. Love you, man.
I think there's one other thing that we need to say before we get to the final piece of the tribute, and that is that this kind of moment makes you reflect on yourself. It makes you reflect on who you are, what you are, and what you've accomplished. And by what you've accomplished, I mean the relationships that you've had, the friendships that you've made, all the things that make up, you know, who you are as your existence. And there's one key thing, and that is that every moment, and this sounds cliche, but it really is true. Every moment should be lived with every bit of intensity that you have. Because there comes a time when it's not your call. You can't necessarily protect yourself against other idiots on the road. You can't protect yourself against the tragic accident or the completely unforeseen moment or in, you know, any of that kind of stuff. So what you always have to – I think that to sit around and waste your life away is the epitome of the worst thing that you could possibly do. And I think Roy would say the exact same thing. Yeah, he got a tremendous amount out of the time that he spent on Earth. These stories, like I said, you guys could go for hours telling these Roy Weisenborn stories, and I'm sure the people listening to us that knew Roy could do the exact same thing. He did a lot of living in a short time. Mm-hmm. But there is, you do have to be aware that when it's not your call, you have no idea when that time could come. So wasting moments is a tragedy. It's something that you just can't do. And, you know, looking at Roy's example and all that, I know that since that moment, I have tried to spur on things in my own life to, I guess you would say, take more inventory of who I am and say, you know, where do I want to be? And do I want to sit around tonight, or do I want to actually go out and do something? Do I want to meet somebody? Do I want to make a contact? Do I want to do this? Do I want to do that? And I think that that's something we can learn from this situation, is that unfortunately we don't control the last moment of our life. We have no idea when it's going to be. So we have to always be cognizant of that, and hopefully, again, you know, carpe diem, seize the day. And I think Roy would probably agree 100% with that.
No, totally.
Now,
he was always very, very encouraging to anyone to do whatever the hell they wanted, and that was the beautiful thing about him. It didn't matter what it was; just go out and to do it.
I remember Roy was actually planning at some point soon to go to Japan.
Yep.
He got a Rosetta Stone, was learning how to speak Japanese, was planning all these little things, and I think at one point he was even talking about so much so that he just lived there for like 3 to 4 months, like during a summer, and just, mm-hmm. you know, have to himself. I mean, that's ambition. I mean, that's big time right there. So.
Well, tell us about and this is a song I'm a huge fan of also, and you may be as well. But, Adam, tell us about Roy's favorite song, and then Andy, explain what we're going to do to end this tribute that could go on for days about our dearly departed friend Roy.
Adam, I asked you the day. I was like, you know, I came up with this idea that we should do a tribute to Roy. And, one, I'm very glad that you agreed and you're a part of this, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I asked you via text, I was like, what would you say Roy's favorite song was? And I figured it'd be something Metallica, but right away you said it was Orion, the instrumental. It was his favorite song, hands down. And when I told this to Jason, you were like, that's actually pretty funny, because that's actually one of my favorite songs too. And you told me your connection with that song and stuff you used it for. And again, you know, we now have official music we're using from Buffalo Rodeo, and it's our intro song. Thank you very much for that, guys. But tonight I think we're going to kick it off and end the show with an outro from Orion, instrumental version per request by Adam and for Roy. And again, we know we could possibly get a cease and desist order, sued, whatever, by Metallica. Lars, you can go eat it. I don't care whoever tattles on us, snitches on us. All of you can go eat it. This is something, Jason, that you put earlier, that is very well put, that this man who has left us needs to hear the song from wherever he's at, and he will listen to it. So by God, if anyone has a problem with it, you can take it up with us.
So again, it's Orion from Metallica, a beautiful instrumental song. And actually, I think it's apropos because it's a very haunting song.
It is.
And it's a song that affects you, just like Roy affects all of us and all of you that listen, that were privileged. And I do think it is a privilege to have known this man.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And, you know, again, cease and desist, that's fine. Roy, wherever he is, deserves to hear this song. And Roy, just by the way, I know you're listening. We're going to have some fun after this. We're going to, you know, we're going to talk about some random games and movies and all this kind of stuff that you would have loved to have heard. So stick around and listen to that. We're going to get rid of the sob fest. But for the next, this song's about 5-6 minutes long. Just sit back, relax. And if you happen to know Roy, think of him and the memories that he left you with, and just the images that you'll never forget about one of the greatest people that we have ever known, and somebody who will be missed for as long as we will be alive. I don't think there's ever going to be a time when Roy is ever going to be forgotten, because he was just that kind of guy. I think you said he was 11 feet tall and bulletproof. He's larger than life. To you guys specifically, he's larger than life to so many people. So I think this song says it all. This is Orion by Metallica.